الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين، وصلى الله على سيدنا ونبينا أبي القاسم المصطفى محمد.
اللهم صل على محمد وعلى محمد
وعلى أهل بيته الأطيبين المنجدين، بهم نتولى ومن أعدائهم نتبرأ إلى الله. اللهم كن لوليك المرشد ابن الحسن صلواتك عليه وعلى آبائه في هذه الساعة وفي كل ساعة، وليا وحافظا وقائدا وناصرا ودليلا وعينا، حتى تسكنه أرضك طوعا وتمتعه فيها طويلا.
اللهم صل على محمد وعلى محمد.
Our philosophers, they say that if Allah is to bestow His favors, His blessings upon His creation, there is no barrier and there is no hindrance, there are no restrictions, no limitations, and all of His favors, they are available for everyone at all times. For Him, for Allah to bestow these favors and blessings upon us, it is instant. Now, to understand this in easier words, we could say that you've got this worldwide web available. It is the information that is there, it's present. It is upon us to have our means, our gadgets, our tools to hook up and to download that information. So from Allah, everything is available and it's instant. The favors, the blessings, His anayat, as He says, kun fayakun, whenever He wishes, whenever He desires, His intention, and everything is available. But for the creation, who are the recipients of the favors and blessings of Allah, they have to accept, they have to be able, they have to be capable of accepting the favors and blessings of Allah. Some of the creation, they accept these favors of Allah instantly, and some they accept it gradually. For example, a teacher who is qualified in a subject, for example, maths, he knows everything, all the formulas and everything about maths himself. And if he was to give that information to a kid, 7-year-old, who has just started school, it's not possible. Information is present with him, but he can't transfer that information because that kid is not yet able to accept it. Just multiply this by infinity. From Allah, the favors are there. We have to be the right recipients. We have to make ourselves able so that we can accept them. Quran, if you look into it, says that إِنَّا أَنزَلْنَاهُ فِي لَيْلَةِ الْقَدْرِ, that we revealed the whole of Quran in لَيْلَةُ الْقَدْرِ, that is the night of Qadr, in one go, instantly. That is because Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam, he was the right recipient, he had that ability, that capability to accept the full favor and the entire book in one go. But for the creation, we find that same book is delivered gradually in 23 years. Because the people who are the recipients, the creation who are the recipients, for them to accept it, it took that much time. For Rasulullah, it is instant, but for others, it is not. Or like the air that is in this room, how much each one of us benefits, how much can anyone inhale, so on and so forth. To understand this even in easier and simpler words, or what we have today, we have Mirza Abul Qasim Qummi, who is buried in Qum, among the great ulama of the hour. And regarding him, Marhum Ayatullah ibn Bahauddin, he said that in Qum, if there is anyone buried after Hazrat Ma'suma alayhi salam, it's Mizrahi for me. The position which he possesses, it's huge. The rank which he has, it cannot be compared. The second person in Qum, he says, is Mizrahi for me. And Marhum Rajab Ali Khayyat, he is of the opinion that when the Imam comes, he is among those people who will definitely be in the service of the Imam. Now, this great personality, he says that when he was studying in Qom, now you must have heard this name, Sayyid Bahrul Ulum, one of the renowned personalities who have been in the service of Imam, who has witnessed his presence, says that when we were studying in Najaf, he was just an ordinary student. And many a times it so happened that I, who is Mirzai for me, he needed to explain to his fellow student, who is Bahrul Ulum, and his original name is Tabatabai Guru Jirdi, and this title of Bahrul Ulum was given to him by the 12th Imam, Ajjalallahu Ta'ala Farajahu Sharif. Says that we completed our studies and I came to Qum, and then the issues of Marja'iyat and looking after the affairs of people, I carried out my tasks in Qum and he was in Najaf. And it so happens that his fame, it grows worldwide and with the title of Bahrul Ulum. He says that after a few years, I got the opportunity to visit Najaf, and when I go there, I asked him, and I saw the meetings which he was conducting, the lessons that he was giving, that this person is not that same person who was with me, who we studied together. Then he was just an ordinary, but might be a little below average student. And many a times I needed to explain to him what the issues are, even in the debates. And when it was quiet in this majlis, I came to him, I said, what is the reason? You were not like this then. How come this evolution has come in your performance? He says, I'll tell that to you, but let it remain a secret. Says, once I came to Masjid al-Kufa. There I saw Imam supplicating, busy with zikr. And I was just standing and gazing at the Imam. And Imam said to me, now, when a person does come to the existence of such a great personality, we normally observe a distance that he is of such a high caliber, such a great rank, we cannot be close to him. He says that I was just standing at a distance, gazing at the Imam, looking at the Imam. Imam says, come closer. I came a few steps closer to the Imam. Says, closer. Comes a few more steps closer, and then again Imam instructs to come close to him. When he says that, when I come closer to the Imam, Imam hugged me. And as a result of that, whatever was to be downloaded or transferred from the pure heart of the Imam to Sayyid Bahrul Ulum was transferred, whatever Allah wished and wanted. Says, as a result of that contact, or as a result of that hugging of the Imam, all that was transferred to me as a result of that. Yesterday, we did say that now, a drop, when it comes in contact with the sea, with the ocean, it's not a drop anymore, it's the ocean. It's a part of the ocean, it is ocean itself. Over here, it's the same thing. Now, a person who had just an ordinary existence, when he comes in contact with the Imam of time, he is no ordinary person anymore. He is like that ocean, part of that ocean, ocean itself. Yesterday it was mentioned that Kamal al-Hajj liqa al-Imam, that everyone does perform Hajj. But the perfection and the completion of Hajj is when a person meets the Imam. That is the perfect Hajj. Or the greatest blessing that Allah has given to us is the blessing of Imamat. Say, ثُمَّ لَتُسْأَلُنَّ يَوْمَئِذٍ عَنِ النَّعِيمِ. On the Day of Judgment, Allah will inquire you about Na'im. And Na'im, all of the Mufassirin, they say, it's the blessing of Imamat. how did we tackle with it? How did we deal with it? Where did we submit to it? Were we obedient to it? So on and so forth. And that is why we find in the riwayat, it says that man mata wa lam ya'rif imam zamanihi mata mithatan jahiliya, that someone who dies not knowing the imam of his time and has died the death of ignorance. And that is why on the day of Qadir, we find that al-yawm akmaltu lakum deenakum. Says that all this effort of Rasulullah throughout his lifetime, no one ever worshipped like Rasulullah, no services were performed by anyone in this grand creation of Allah but by Rasulullah. After all those years of painstaking efforts and services, Allah says to him in strong words that if you do not perform this task, it is as if whatsoever you have done throughout your life, it's of no use, it's all in vain. And what does that say? That you have to appoint and inform who your successor is. And once you've done that, only then is that deen perfect, that deen is complete. That is, with imama, deen is perfect. Al-yawm akmaltu lakum deenakum. Without imama, it's imperfect. So, when it comes to the ahkam that we do, may that be hajj, may that be salat, may that be zakat, may that be khums, all of these ahkam of ours, the fiqh of ours, if imam exists in it, that's perfect. Hajj, if you see the imam meet over there, that's perfect. The same thing is with all the other ahkam. So, in the ziyarat also, we read that وَالْمُنْتَهَا إِلَيْهِ مَوَارِيثُ الْأَنْبِيَاءِ, that is the imam. Imam is an existence wherein the inheritance of all of the prophets, it comes to a completion, to an end. That is, whatsoever all of the prophets had is inherited by the imam. We recite in Ziyarat Warith. We start from As-salamu alayka ya waritha Adam Safwatillah, Nuh Nabiyyillah, Ibrahim Khalilillah, until the Prophet. That whatever they had, this Imam inherits. The same is with the Imam of time. And with reference to Imamat, when inquired Imams, they say that Nahnu Sanayu Rabbina, that we are the creation of Allah, wal khalq ba'da sanayina, and the creation, everything apart from the imam, was created after the imams. So they were the first, foremost. Now this can be seen in Ziyaratul Jami'at al-Kabira, bikum fatah Allah wa bikum yakhtim, that everything opened for you, that is the imams, wa bikum yakhtim, everything will end because of you. Or become yumsikus sama, that it is because of the existence of the imam, Allah has held back the skies from falling down. Or if you see hadith of Kisa, the same thing can be seen over there. That inni ma khalaqtu sama'an mabniyya wa la ardan madhiyya, that I have not created the skies and the seas. Everything that what you see I have created is limahabbatikum. That is, for the sake of the imams. Now, whether or not we understand this, and how much can we digest it, that's another issue. Shaykh Mufid, in the meetings of Imam Baqir, alayhi salam, he says that when he spoke, and sometimes there were people who did possess lesser ma'rifat in the majalis of the imams. And when Imam did quote a report or a hadith, they used to ask what the source is. Now when Imam speaks, there's no need to ask, because the word of the Imam is the word of Allah. Because when Imam says something, it is as if Rasulullah says something. It is, now when Rasul says something, مَا يَنْتِقُ عَنِ الْهَوَى, that he never says anything out of his own desire. إِنْ هُوَ إِلَّا وَحْيٌ يُوحَى, that whenever he utters a word, it is wahi that is being revealed. It is as if the spokesman of Allah who is speaking through this Rasul. the word of Allah being spoken through the Prophet. So there were ignorant people who used to ask for the source when Imam asked. He, in one of these persons, he says that Imam Baqir alayhi salatu was salam,
Allahumma salli ala Muhammad wa ali Muhammad.
He had not seen the Prophet. He is after the Prophet. He says that when he spoke, he says that Rasulullah has said, as if he himself is the Prophet. And I was always amazed that how come, but I had no guts to ask him what makes him say that. He says that Imam passes away, and then Saleh bin Abi Hafsa, he comes to the Imam and says that, extends his condolences to the Imam and says that someone has passed away who directly reported from Rasul. And then he was much more amazed over here that when he says that قَالَ اللَّهُ, that Imam Sadiq, he says, he reports directly from Allah without any mediation of any ma'soom of the Prophet, directly from Allah. Now these are ma'soomeen. The sixth Imam, now the time span from him to the 12th Imam, so many decades, about 200 years, about 100 years, from the 6th Imam till the birth of the 12th Imam, and since then till this time of Ghaybah. It's a long time. Says that, God, make me serve Mahdi of arms. The grandfather says, for the grandson, for an opportunity to be given to him, so that he serves the Mahdi of Ali Muhammad alayhi salam.
Allahumma salli ala Muhammad wa ali.
Says that لو أدركته لخدمته أيام حياتي. That if I got the opportunity to meet him, to be with him, I will spend the life, my lifetime in his service. Now the term خدمته, or as we say in Urdu, Nokari or Ghulami, in Farsi and Arabic, Ibadah, etc. Now these terms, they cannot be transferred or interpreted into English. English is a disabled language when it comes to transferring these issues. It cannot define most of these words. Now we just translate it as service. Service is just simple. But when it comes to Ghulami, for example, or when it comes to Nokari, it means submission to a level that a person puts himself down to earth in the service of someone. That gives the meaning of that service. Imam over here says that if I get the opportunity to serve the 12th Imam, I will spend my lifetime in his service. Now, from Allah's side, these favors are all available, present. All the blessings are there. Shortcomings are from us, lacking is our ability. We are not capable to perceive or to download those favors that are available for us by Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala. From among the followers of the A'imma, 11, all of them, we find that the performance of the followers and the Shias of the Imams, it was not a good performance. Now this is something we read in Dua Nutbah. Says that لَمْ يُمْتَثَلْ أَمْرُ رَسُولِ اللَّهِ, that they did not listen, or they were not obedient to the commands of the Prophet. لَمْ يُمْتَثَلْ أَمْرُ رَسُولِ اللَّهِ صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَآلِهِ فِي الْهَادِينَ بَعْدَ الْهَادِينَ. They were not obedient to the commands of the Prophet regarding the Imams. Imams came one after the other. They were not obedient to them. Wal ummatu musirratun ala maqtih mujtama'atun ala qati'ati rahimih. That this nation who had seen the Prophet, this nation who had seen the Imams, they were all united to severe ties with the household of Rasulullah. So the performance was bad. That in this dua nutbah, dua nutbah means lamenting, a dua of crying, weeping. And we should make it a habit that at least every Friday we recite it, especially this, the last part of it, when it starts to Azizun Alayya, Azizun Alayya, when it says Aina, Aina, where is the Imam, and defines the qualities of the Imam. And if you get an opportunity, listen to it quite a few times, so that at least one of those phrases of that dua hits our heart and it breaks our heart. Being deprived from the blessing or the existence of an Imam is a pain, but we don't realize it. We don't realize that pain. Says that wal ummatu musirratun ala maqtih mujtama'atun ala qati'ati rahimih, that the nation was united to break the ties with the household of the Prophet. إِلَّا الْقَلِيلِ مِمَّنْ وَفَى لِرِعَايَةِ الْحَقِّ فِيهَا. Just a few, very few. Now, again, with regards to these very few, we'll come to that point as well. And then says, فَقُتِلَ مَنْ قُتِلَ. Few were killed. وَسُبِيَ مَنْ سُبِيَ. Many of them were abandoned. وَأُقْسِيَ مَنْ أُقْسِيَ وَجَرَ الْقَضَاءُ لَهُمْ بِمَا يُرْجَى لَهُ حُسْنُ الْمَثُوبَةِ إِذْ كَانَتْ لِلْأَرْضُ لِلَّهِ يُورِثُهَا مِنْ عِبَادِهِ مَنْ يَشَاءُ مِنْ عِبَادِهِ وَالْعَاقِبَةُ لِلْمُتَّقِينَ. Whence the word of Allah is that this earth belongs to the Waliyullah. This earth belongs to his true servants. And that inheritance was deprived from the rightful owners, the rightful inheritors. So this is something we see in Quran, that لَقَدْ كَتَبْنَا فِي الزَّبُورِ مِنْ بَعْدِ الذِّكْرِ أَنَّ الْأَرْضَ يَرِثُهَا عِبَادِيَ الصَّالِحُونَ, that it is written in the book after the reminder that as for the land, my righteous servants will inherit it. That's the word of Allah, and Allah never lies. He has promised, and he never lies. Although all of this was available, still they were deprived. Now this is the last treasure of Allah, that is the 12th Imam. Benefiting from this treasure is based upon a few conditions. Now why are we deprived from him? Why don't we benefit from the presence of the Imam? Why are we so much distanced from him? Now all these are questions we need to ask ourselves. And me particular. He is in ghaibat, away from us. The conditions to remove these barriers, that is, between us and the Imam, they have to be availed by us. For example, if you invite someone, he accepts the invitation, you make the preparation, and then you welcome him when he's at the door. Over here, the invitation is already there. Acceptance is also there. He has already accepted. Now we have to make the preparation and we have to welcome him. Now what are the preparations? How do we welcome him? If you see dua iftitah, we say that Allahumma inna narghabu ilayka fi dawlatin kareema. In that beautiful dua which is reported by the 12th Imam, recommended to be recited every night of the sacred month, in the last few phrases says that, O God, we earnestly desire نَرْغَبُ إِلَيْكَ فِي دَوْلَةٍ كَرِيمًا, in that fair rule, in that kareem rule, establishment, government of the Imam. What do we desire? فِي دَوْلَةٍ تُعِزُّ بِهَا الْإِسْلَامَ وَأَهْلَهُ, an establishment, a government, wherein you will grant dignity to Islam and Muslims, wherein you will defame kufr and nifaq. We earnestly desire that we be with him. Want to be with him. But this is something we have to ask ourselves, that why do we want the Imam? For what reason? Riwayat, they have classified our desire for the Imam in a few stages. We are said that when the Imam arrives, the livelihood is going to be an easy lifestyle. Whatsoever you want, you can get it by just a recitation of a salawat. The second stage is that people who are hurt, who are afflicted a lot, they will be eased by the return of the Imam, by the arrival of the Imam. That's another. Or another group is that they will be eased by the tasks that they had to perform. Like Amr bil Ma'ruf, Nahi anil Munkar. He even currently they go to church. There is another group who is not waiting for the imam for either of the three, neither for the easy livelihood, neither to be eased by the afflictions, nor to be eased by the tasks and duties. But they sincerely, earnestly want the imam, and that is they are those who are mentioned in this law. If we are waiting for the imam for that easy livelihood, we are selfish. If it's for the second issue that we are afflicted, we want the afflictions to be removed, again we are selfish. If it is for that he comes and takes over the child and we are eased and we relax, again we are selfish. In that dua says that, تُعِزُّ بِهَا الْإِسْلَامَ وَأَهْلَهُ وَتُذِلُّ بِهَا النِّفَاقَ وَأَهْلَهُ وَتَجْعَلُنَا فِيهَا مِنَ الدُّعَاتِ إِلَىٰ طَاعَتِهِ. It should be as such that now if I am a friend with someone and I love him, so his desires should be my desires. Whatsoever he wants, I should want. If we love the Imam, his desires should be my desires. If he has a task to do, his task should be my task. Or in other words, if there is a burden on him which he has to carry, it should be as such that I be able to at least take a fraction of that burden on myself and ease the imam in that aspect. Not that burden him even furthermore. If that's the case, then it's not a good and a healthy way. Although it's better than nothing. That now, to put this in the right order, what are the conditions? The most important condition to be availed in this time of ghaibat of the Imam, the first one is that we feel the pain that we are in need of the Imam. Do we have that pain? Are we hurt that he is away from us, he is not with us, he is absent from us, or we are absent from his presence? So do we ever feel that pain that he is away? Normally we don't, because we are so much busy with our schedule and day-to-day life that we hardly get time for these issues. I'm talking about myself. So we have to try and do something that we instigate that pain in us. Pain of the Imam being away from us. Pain of we being deprived from his service. For that, many things are to be done. That we, in our daily schedule, do something specially for the Imam so that we are constantly reminded of his presence. And we are said that if by practice it's possible that we constantly call the Imam every moment. And it is possible that if we make it a habit or train ourselves, educate ourselves in a way that the palpitation and the beat of our heart, the theme or the tune of that beat be Ya Sahib al-Zaman, Ya Aba Salih. It's possible. And out of those 60 beats in a minute, and out of those thousands of beats in an hour, one of those Ya Sahib al-Zaman or Ya Aba Salih may hit the target. And if that one little beat hits the target, that's sufficient for us for our entire duration, that is, in this dunya, barzakh, and qiyam. So we have to train ourselves that always, constantly in the remembrance of the Imam, daily or weekly, a prayer to be recited for the Imam, or this dua ahd to be recited early in the morning. And one of the Urafahi says that when you recite this dua ahd, and when you come to the end of it, when you beat your lap with your right hand, saying Al-Ajal, Al-Ajal, it means that I am desperate, I am wretched. Imam, come, Imam, come. That is what is being meant. So, the first is that we feel the pain in us that we are deprived from the presence of the Imam. The second is that they are not after the Imam for themselves, but that we are in his service. That we are after the Imam to ease our livelihood, or in bad terminology, we hire the Imam to carry out our tasks. That whenever we are afflicted, we have problems, we are ill, we are sick, no job, no work, we have problems, we approach the Imam, and as soon as all of that is eased and sorted out, we forget him. That shouldn't be the case. First, we have the pain, the bond and the relationship with him should be a healthy relationship, not a higher and fire relationship. And third, we avail and make preparations for his arrival to welcome him. And what is, all these so many things were mentioned. And the answer to all of them is a simple submission. Whatsoever he has said, accept it. مَا آتَاكُمُ الرَّسُولُ فَخُذُوهُ مَا نَهَاكُمْ عَنْهُ فَانْتَهُ. Whatever the Prophet has said to do, do. Whatever he has said, don't do, don't. We don't need anything more than that. And Marhum Ayatullah Ibn Bahjat, he used to say that if someone is sincerely and truly after haqiqat and he wants to get to the reality and haqa'iq, he doesn't need these asatid, he doesn't need all these books and lectures. The doors, the walls, the sky, the trees, all of them become his muallim, his teacher. They teach him, they guide him, they educate him. So that's sincere, and that again turns back to the same thing that was mentioned earlier, that guidance from Allah is complete. Favors from Allah are perfect. Blessings from Allah are available. We have to set ourselves so that we have the right tools, the right software to download everything that is required. Now, because we are not able, we are not capable, we don't do it. So three special steps. That is, first of all, we feel the pain. Secondly, we have a healthy relationship with him. And third, we avail and make available the requirements and the needs for his arrival, for him to come. Now, we don't seem to have the pain as we are living, happy, no problems at all. And one of the meanings of Akhiru Zaman that is mentioned is that Akhiru Zaman is not end of time. Akhiru Zaman is end of this term and starting of another term. And what is that? End of a term in the coach or the economy section. And transfer or a starting of a term in the business class or in the elite class, in the first class. So when the Imam comes, the time is going to be a beautiful time. Perfection in every aspect. And because it's going to be the advent of the Imam or the true human life, if a person did want to see, it's going to be in the time of the Imam. Or, in other words, the time which we are living in is the time of khusran, it's the time of loss in the insan and the khusr, as the Quran says. So, we have to try and take some time out, especially every day, whenever it is possible, or at all times a constant and a live connection with the Imam and in the remembrance of the Imam. Now if you look into our own livelihoods, for example, if our children, they are to travel from here to a 3 or 4 hours journey, a flight, how much we get worried. We prepare for them, we pack their bags, take them to the airport, and then constantly in contact. Where are you? Where have you reached? Have you crossed the security? And if the child, the son or the daughter, doesn't respond and answer the phone quickly, we get upset. That why was it? But when it comes to the Imam and we are waiting for his arrival, these things are not there. So we have to instigate these things, create these things, that feeling, that sensation, that pain that we have for the Imam, it has to be there. Again, Sudayri Sayrafi, he says, we are a group. We went to the Imam, this is the sixth Imam. And at that time, Imam was the Imam al-Asr. And he says that, I saw the Imam, he was crying at that time. Crying for what? They said that he just wanted to know why is he crying? Why is all this weeping and shedding of tears? And then when they came to the Imam, he was crying for his grandson, which is Imam al-Asr.
Will be born at the time of the Ghaybah, there, he was away from the village, and was crying for that time. So Imam, he is so friendly, so close.
Can be seen in Dua Nutba. The Imam says, Azizun alayya an aral khalqa wala tura. That we cry, it's tough on me that I see every creation, khalq wala tura. And I don't see you. It's a pain. Wala asma'u laka hasisan wala najwa. And that I can hear everyone and I cannot hear the faintest hum of my Imam. That is a pain. Or in Dua Ahd, again the same thing. Marhum Gafash, once Imam asks him that, if I don't see you, what will happen? He says, I will die. And Imam says, it's for that pain of yours, I am constantly in contact with you. So that pain has to be there. And when he was said, he was showed his place in the paradise, Imam shows him that where he will be in the paradise. And then the first thing he asks, Imam, where will you be? He says, mine is somewhere else. He says, I don't want the paradise. A paradise wherein I cannot have a frequent contact with you, a constant contact with you, I don't want that paradise. That is that pain, that is that love which they have. The second condition that was mentioned, that is, we don't want the Imam for ourselves, but we want him for himself. That is, we have to dispose ourselves to the Imam. We sell ourselves to the Imam. We submit ourselves to the Imam. Not like Bani Israel. Bani Israel were the notorious and the most notorious nation who ever existed, even today it's the same. Now, they wanted Prophet Musa for themselves. Whenever they wanted something, they hired Musa, an easy livelihood, food to be, just heat and eat meals, and everything ready for them. Musa, they wanted for their own selves, for their own livelihood. And again, the reports, they say that in the battle of Amalika, when they were to fight, what does Quran say? It says that, فَذْهَبْ أَنْتَ وَرَبُّكَ فَقَاتِلَا إِنَّا هَاهُنَا قَاعِدُونَ. That Musa, you and your God go and fight, we'll sit here. So they wanted Musa for a livelihood, but when he wanted something from them, they said, no, we are here, we are at ease. You just serve us and we'll stay here. Many of the friends of Ahlul Bayt, again, were of the same sort. Once a person, he comes to our sixth Imam Sadiq alayhi salatu wa salam and says that Imam, why don't you rise? Why don't you make a movement? You have supporters, you have Shias, large in number. For example, he may have said, 100,000 supporters you have. Imam said, 100,000? He says, no, maybe more than that, maybe 200,000. And then says, 200,000? Says, Imam, I think you have half of the world as your supporters, so you must rise. You should, Imam doesn't answer this person. And after a while, they come and reach a point called Gemba. There, Imam sees a herd, a flock of sheep. And then he says to this person that if we had supporters, as many as this flock of sheep over here, I would rise. And then he says, I counted the sheep, they were just 17. Says this, I haven't got that many supporters. That's the reason I cannot write. I don't know. Now, Imam Hussein was very lucky. He had 70 who supported him on the day of Ashura. Six Imam says, I don't have even 17. Imam Sajjad had 4 supporters throughout his lifetime of 5. So, Abis ibn Shabib Shakiri, one of the Ashab of Abu Abdullah, now see the beauty of these Ashab, says to Shawza, he's another Sahabi with another companion of Abu Abdullah, says that Shawza, you go first and fight in this war that is on the day of Ashura, so that you get killed first. Why? Not that he gets killed first so that he lives a bit more. The reasoning this Sahabi has behind it, he says that Abu Abdullah, he has come to this battle with all his relatives. He's got his sons, he's got his brothers, he's got his nieces, nephews, everyone is there. And one after the other, each one of them is being killed. And the pain which he sees for his children being killed in that war, that is great. He says that I am all alone. I have come here with no relatives, no one with me. You are the only friend of mine who has been with me throughout my life. And I want to see that when you get killed, what pain I can feel of your being killed. Not that I want to live a little bit more. Imam, as he sees the pain of all of his household being killed one after the other. So Sahabi of that great caliber with Abu Abdullah. So we have to feel that pain, first of all, to feel the presence of the Imam. Marhum Mirza Abul Fazl Tahrici, among the great lovers and friends and associates of our 12th Imam, lives in Qum. His habit is that Tuesdays and Fridays he goes to Masjid Jamkara. And he has a cafeteria in the bazaar. And at the time when it's the peak hours of the market, his shop is closed. The shops in the market become an object that, why do you close it? We need coffee, we need tea. And at that time your shop is closed. He says that I have to go to Masjid al-Jamkaran, that is to pay a visit to the 12th Imam. Says if you can go later on, go in the night, go sometime else, but don't go at this time when the market is open. If you do that, we'll close your shop. He says, close my shop. I can't close this contact which I have with the Imam. That will continue. And it so happens that Imam informs that the businessmen in the market, they have arranged and they want to close your shop. And the next morning he comes and sees that there's a big lock on his shop and they want to let him work. What he does is that he buys a bigger lock and puts that lock onto that lock. Says that a shop wherein I can have no contact with my Imam, I don't want that shop. That is that love which he has, that pain which he has in him, that for that reason, Imam says, and in one of the meetings that she has with the Imam, he says that, you see all these millions of people in this mosque over here? They don't want me as much as they want their own water, which they used to drink. Everyone comes to this mosque for his own needs, for his own requirements, but none of them truly sincerely comes here for me. So that is a pain. We have to feel the pain that the Imam is away and we are deprived of his service. And it was mentioned yesterday that the fast track to the Imam is crying in Abu Abdullah Hussein. That a heart melts when he is connected to Abu Abdullah, and that way gets connected quicker to the 12th Imam. And that is something which we see in the Seerah, in the Ziyarat, from Ma'sumin. And it should be as such that The attitude which we have should be the attitude of the Imam. The servitude which we have should be the servitude of the Imam. Again in Dua Ali Yasin, we read that فَالْحَقْ مَا رَضِيْتُمُ. Right is that which you are pleased with. وَالْبَاطِلْ مَا أَسْخَدْتُمُ. And batil, evil, is that which you hate. وَالْمَعْرُوفُ مَا أَمَرْتُمْ بِهِ. And ma'ruf is something which you have commanded us. So we want to try and be a friend and an associate of the Imam. And if you look into this Ziyaratul Nahiyah, the last phrase of it, when Imam laments, cries, weeps for Aba Abdullah, has that dua in the end, the final phrase of this dua is, says, وَغْفِرْ لِي وَلِجَمِيعِ إِخْوَانِي فِي. That God forgive me and all of my brothers. Who are the brothers of the Imam? As mentioned in that report on the first day from Rasulullah, it's the people of the end of time who wait for the Imam. Says that God, Imam says, God forgive them, have mercy on them. Wa ikhwani al-mu'minina wal-mu'minat, have mercy on them. Sayyid ibn Taus, among the great ulama of the Shia world, he says, now he is among those people who can recognize the voice of the Imam. He says that once I came to Masjid Sahla, and there I heard the Imam. Imam has a dua saying that Allahumma inna shiatana minna, that O God, our Shias are from us. They are from us. Again, there is another hadith which says that Shiatuna qad khuliqu min fadli tinatina wa ujinu bi nur al wilaya, that our Shias, they are created with the leftover clay with which Ma'sumin were created, and that clay was mixed with the light and nur of wilaya. And that is the reason why we feel we are disturbed when it is azab. We are happy when it is a joyous occasion. Over here, Imam says that God, our Shias, you created with min shu'a'i anwarina, with the rays of our light, wa baqiyati tinatina, and the leftover clay of ours. And then says, qad fa'alu dhunuban kathir, and they have committed a lot of sins. Now the sins which they have committed, again, their heart, their soul rested upon us. They had that contact, that love and devotion to us. And then says that, فَإِنْ كَانَتْ ذُنُوبُهُمْ بَيْنَكَ وَبَيْنَهُمْ فَاسْفَحَنْ. God, if the sins which they have committed are between you and them, forgive them, waive them. That is, if they are like prayers, like fasts, like hajj, forgive them. And then says that if they are sins like money matters, like hukuk al-nas, says that God, make them so much rich, give them so much wealth, that khums becomes wajib on them, khums is my right. Says that I will pay their debts with my right. That we have an Imam so loving, so caring, so friendly, that he at all points is with us. Now again, I'll quote another incident which will shed more light on these two reports and this dua of the Imam. And you conclude that we have an Imam who is friendly, who is an associate of ours. He is with us. We don't feel his presence. We are absent from his presence. Marhum Ayatullah al-Udma Milani, among the great Maraja'i Taqlid of the 60s and 70s, who resided and lived in Mashhad. He quotes with one chain, says that in Najaf there were two maddahs who used to recite maddahi, as we do over here, in Farsi. And like all these zawwars who travel from worldwide to Najaf and Karbala, one of these groups arrives in Najaf, and they hear these two brothers recite the azah of Aba Abdullah with a beautiful voice and a very touching way. Now, how come Indians understand that language? Again, that's a mystery. No, it's a mystery, but it is solved over here. That many a times we find that the azan or these things that are recited for Ahlul Bayt, although we don't know the language, we don't know Farsi or Arabic or Urdu at all, but we get just carried away with the tune, with the rhythm, with what the content of it is. And the reason behind that is the language that talks about these issues, or the language which is recited, is the language of love. And that language of love doesn't need any characters, any symbols, any words, etc. Says that, now that group that had come from India, they invited these two brothers to Bombay. And they accept. And those days, traveling also was tough. They used to travel by sea and they came to Bombay. And over here, the two brothers, they started frequenting between Iraq and Bombay for a few years. And on one of their trips, when they come, they arrive to Bombay, the younger brother says to the elder one, and there was a caravan going and leaving for Hajj. He says that we are mustati alam, and we must perform our Hajj. And it's been just being, we have been just delaying Hajj. They have a little argument, a little debate. They say that if we go for Hajj now, then what will happen to these majalis that we have committed for Muharram and Safar? The younger brother says that it's mustahab anyway. Hajj is wajib. We have to do that Hajj first. They have a little debate. The younger brother, he goes and enrolls himself and sets off for Hajj. The elder stays for the majalis. And when he completes his Hajj and comes back, it's the month of Safar, the last days of Azaf. And he says that when I came to Bombay then, the people over there who used to welcome me in a different way are welcoming me in a more sympathetic way. And it is not that welcome that used to be every trip of mine. And then I find out my elder brother, he fell ill and he died. Now I was very much disturbed for two reasons. One of them is that he died away from his relatives and his people. And secondly, he had not performed his Hajj. For that, I was disturbed. I was very much moved. And he says that I cried, I pleaded to Allah that I just wanted to know what has happened to him for him not having performed that Hajj. And it so happens that once he sees his brother in his dreams and says that, how did you end? What happened? What was accepted? What was not? He says that I ended up, it was a wretched and a bad end. My life was taken away in a bad way, in a painful way. And then I was given a place, a horrible place that cannot be defined, a Jahannam in Barzakh. And then he says that he starts explaining and describing what exactly happened to him. And then says, I was being taken from this place that was in my barzakh to a worse place. These two angels, they were dragging me and taking me towards the other cell. And there, he says that I sought refuge in Hazrat Zahra. I sought her help. She immediately instructed that I be taken to Amir al-Mu'mineen. There, in the presence of Amir al-Mu'mineen, he has a sharp look at me. And to the angels who brought him to Amir al-Mu'mineen, says that, why did you bring him here? Did I not assign his place where it should be? Take him back. He says that the angels took me back and were taking me to that designated place where Hazrat Amir has assigned, and that is a worse Jahannam in Barzakh than that was designated. And there he says that I started crying, I started pleading. And what he recites is, Daste manu inayato lutfo ataye fatime. That my helplessness, her bestowals, and the giving of Fatima. Qalbe manu mahabbatu ruze jazaye fatime. That this is my heart, a vessel of love, and the day of reward of Fatima. Be bazle daste fatime, be khake paye fatime. My benevolent hands. By the benevolent hands of Fatima, by the dust of the feet of Fatima, manam gedaye Fatime, I am the beggar of Fatima. I am the beggar of Fatima. And then says, رشته مهر فاطمه سوی خدا کشد مرا. That the essence of love for Fatima, it drags me towards Allah, throughout. And then says, دل دولاش دادم تا به کجا کشد مرا. I have given my heart to her. Now where is that going to take me to? And then says that this time, when I started reciting this shir, which again, just bear in mind that these things that we have in this dunya, whatever the acquaintance we have in this dunya, that acquaintance will remain with us in barzakh, in qiyamah as well. If that acquaintance is with Ahlul Bayt, they are there. If that acquaintance is with anything else, that is there. Riwayat says that man ahabba hajaran hasharahu Allah ma'ah, that if you love a stone, you will be resurrected with that stone. You will remain with that stone in your grave, in your barzakh. Prophet Isa, he was passing from a graveyard. And then he says to the ashab, quick, move on. Says why? Says this grave is being punished over here. And the next year again, he was with the same ashab. He says that, slow down, calm, quiet, stay. They say that, why is that last year you asked us to be quick? Today you say that, be cool down. Then he says that last year this grave was being punished. Today it's not. Today his son said, Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim, who was a toddler then, and he said that for the first time. As a result of that, azab from this grave has been put away. Acquaintance is at that time. Or when you look into the biography of marhum Nuh, Ayatullah Shaykh Hassan Ali Isfahani, again he is among those sahib karamat who can gain access to the unseen. To one of his students says that, do you know what's happening in that grave? He says no. Connection is created, and then he hears that from the grave they hear that, come and buy fresh vegetables from me. From another grave, tasbihat, recitals, dhikr is being heard. And then he says, what was that and what was that? Says the acquaintance of that person throughout his lifetime was to sell fresh vegetables throughout his life. That was his desire, and that stayed with him. The second one was remembrance, recitals, dhikr, salawat, and that remained with him. The same thing is over here. Whatever acquaintance we have, now this maddah, his acquaintance was with the love of Ahlul Bayt. He recited that throughout his life, and that remained with him, and he recites that same in barzakh. Says that when I was reciting that, this time Hazrat Zahra, she appeared. And she escorted me with the two angels to Hazrat Amin. And then, upon seeing Hazrat Zahra, he is all respect. Says, Ya Amir al-Mu'mineen, do something for this person. He has been a lover of ours. He loved us. He served us. He recited for us, and he made others cry for my Hussein. Do something for him. Imam in reply says, what can I do? The instructions given to me are as such that someone who dies not performing his Hajj has died a Yahudiyan or Nasraniyan, has died a Jew or a Christian, and I can do nothing for that. She says there should be some way out, help him. And then she says, Mahdi, to her grandson she calls. He comes, says, yes, my grandson, what can I do for you? Says, this year, you will perform Hajj on behalf of this Maddah who has a shortfall in his performance. This year. And then he says that he performed Hajj on my behalf. Now, a Hajj performed by an Imam is an accepted Hajj. Says, as a result of that Hajj of the Imam, now I've been given and blessed with a very lofty position in the Maddah. So Imam is there. Now when this question again may rise to your mind, that how come Imam is in Hajj every year? And we say, and it is said to us that if someone does want to meet the Imam, day of Arafah in Mecca. How come? One Hajj is wajib on him as one Hajj is wajib on us. So it's all these Hajj, the shortfalls of Mu'mineen, which he is making up for others over there. So we have an Imam, so loving, so loyal, that he prays that Allah, if there is a shortfall in their performance in huququllah, forgive, I am a mediator. If there is a shortfall in huququn nas, make them rich. Homs is mine, I'll pay their debts. So for that imam, with that rank, that love is to be from us. If we link with the imam, then salvation is for sure. Or if a drop gets connected to the ocean, it's no drop anymore, it's an ocean itself. The same thing can be seen in Karbala. That on a day when Abu Abdullah, Imam Mujtaba, in his last moment, he comes and says to his son Qasim, says that, no, at that time Qasim is a very young boy. Says that, Qasim, 10 years from now, when you hear the call of Hal min Nasirin Yansurini from your uncle, I want you to be in his service, to support him. That will be the day when he will give away his life. And I want you not to be away from him, be with him. If he doesn't allow you, please fall onto his knees. And then Imam, he gives him a note and says that this note will be with your mother. And on the day of Ashura, as it unfolds and he hears the call of Hal min Nasirin Yansurini from his uncle, he goes and pleads to his uncle. He doesn't grant him the permission. And now comes to the camp and says, Aunt, where is my mom? Goes to his mother and says that my uncle, he won't let me go. And now this time, the mother, she gives that note to the son and says, go and give this to your uncle. Opens and the letter from Imam Mujtaba says that, Hussein, don't let my son plead so much. Let him go. And their permission is granted to Qasim. And he fights. And then when he falls off, says, Ya Amma, help me. Uncle, help me. And it so happens that when he falls from his horse, it's all dust everywhere and he cannot see where Qasim has fallen. Imam says, it's tough for me to hear your call and not being able to help you. And then he carries the body of Qasim and brings him to the camp. Now this is the Imam who starts the day before everyone, ends the day after everyone, works the most dehydrated. And the riwayat, they say that Imam, the armor which he was wearing, when he inhaled, it bled. That is, he was so much wounded. And a person who is so much wounded, he is dehydrated, thirsty as well. Now, when it comes to the time of the Imam, there is no one to help him. There is no one to support him. And Imam, he fell and he collapses. Allah la'natullah ala al-qawm al-zalimeen wa sayya'lamu al-ladheena zalamu ayyamun qalabun yanqalibun. Allahumma gfir lana wa liwalidayna wa liman wajaba lahu haqqun alayna wa liman wassana bid-du'a ولجميع أمة محمد وآل محمد. اللهم عجل في فرج مولانا صاحب الزمان مات بحسن.